Is it just me, or does it seem like conservatives are getting really comfortable with casual cruelty these days?
The Cruel Kids Table.
The Cruel Kids Table.
Are you cruel?
They want to be able to say slurs.
People feel like they can say the R word specifically.
We're going to call them fags and re again.
Many people feel or see a power in that.
It was an act of astonishing cruelty and callousness.
There's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Can you come take it out of my ham? I'm going to eat half this plate during the break. Maybe I'll call the ICE hotline. I don't know if I'll have enough time.
If somebody's getting deported, I actually find it hilarious. I find you guys to be subhumans.
Since the inauguration, we've seen conservatives lashing out. They're excited. They're calling people slurs as if it's edgy and not just sad. And while this isn't new by any means, it does feel more intense and shameless now that Trump is in office.
And our country will be woke no longer.
But no one is shocked, right? No one is shocked this is happening. Just like no one is shocked who is being targeted. Immigrants.
We're getting the bad, hard criminals out. These are murderers. These are people that have been as bad as you get.
But also trans people.
Since taking office more than a week ago, he's now taken several actions focusing on transgender people.
And really, anyone they've lumped in with the DEI label, including women, black people, the rest of the queer community, people with disabilities, and on and on. Everyone knows what we're talking about here. They even made a list for us.
NSF employees were given a list of words, this list of words, to look for in grants and flag them for possible termination. This, by the way, is only a sampling of the words. It's much longer.
At the policy level, it's clear what the point of this is. DEI is nothing more than an excuse conservatives use to defund, deregulate, and gut whatever public agency is on the chopping block. Trump and Elon want to eliminate more and more parts of the government until all they're left with are the cops and the bits that'll keep them rich, cutting out anything and everything that keeps everyone else safe or generally makes life in a society have a point. The rhetoric is working side by side with devastating policies, and those policies are making life worse for everyone, but especially those conservatives are painting as different. If all of that is pretty obvious, the rationale behind why DEI specifically works is a little less clear. That is, until you realize that this kind of thing isn't all that new. It's part of a long American tradition of backlash politics. And to really understand it, to really grasp where this misplaced anger against disenfranchised people is coming from, we're going to need to talk about the economic roots of conservative politics and how liberal politicians like Biden and Obama have played into this. Hey everyone, I just wanted to take a quick second to thank our channel sponsor, Aura. With the recent demonetization wave of left-wing channels, a lot of people have very kindly reached out to ask how they can support our work. One of the best ways to keep this channel afloat and get some quality peace of mind while you're at it is to sign up for Aura using my link. If you're not already familiar with Aura, it's an all-in-one digital safety solution that helps protect against identity theft, financial fraud, and online threats. If you're anything like me, I'm sure you're tired of having dozens of separate subscriptions for every aspect of your life. Since I switched to Aura, I've been able to cancel a bunch of those, because Aura's got everything I need. It's a VPN, antivirus, password manager, encrypted storage, it provides credit monitoring, dark web monitoring, up to $1 million in identity fraud protection, spam call, text and email blocking, even comprehensive and customizable parental controls, so you can keep your kids or your aging loved ones safe online. You can get a 2-week trial completely free when you use my link. That's plenty of time to see whether any of your personal data has been compromised and to opt out of all those obnoxious spam lists. If you're serious about protecting yourself and your loved ones online, give Aura a shot. It's a great service that I personally use, and every sign-up directly supports our work here at Second Thought. Thanks for your consideration. All right, back to the video. Let's talk about backlash.
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 If you haven't heard about it before, backlash, or more commonly, white backlash, is a term we sometimes hear when progressive politics are violently reversed by conservatives. It's usually called white backlash, specifically because we've seen this happen mostly when white conservatives violently make sure white people stay above everyone else. The most obvious example of this happened after the Reconstruction era. If you remember, the 15th Amendment made it so that states couldn't deny black men the right to vote anymore, and as a result, Half a million black men joined voter rolls and elected nearly 2,000 black representatives. This obviously didn't end racism or white supremacy, but that possibility was scary enough that, in response, white conservatives got to work finding ways to exclude black voters to make sure it never could. You've definitely heard of this already, but the Jim Crow era backlash to Reconstruction meant a whole new list of things designed to keep black voters out, like literacy tests and poll taxes at the voting booth. Parties also ran all-white primaries to make sure black candidates weren't even making it on the ballot, and generally made it near impossible for black Americans to vote or get elected. And it all worked. The poll tax they set up in Georgia, for example, cut black voter turnout in half. Meanwhile, white voters could skirt most of these new laws by being grandfathered in, meaning whatever voting status their grandfather had, they would automatically get too. For black Americans, whose grandparents were slaves, this obviously didn't apply. Whites had literal inherited privilege, and so society remained heavily segregated to the benefit of white Americans. But like I said, this didn't stop in the 1800s. The backlash we saw after Reconstruction, we also saw against the civil rights movement in the 60s, the women's movement in the 70s, and the gay rights movement in the 90s. When poll taxes and literacy tests were abolished, for example, backlash happened through new techniques like gerrymandering, voter ID laws, anti-progressive judge appointments, the war on drugs, and more recently, the dismantling of things like affirmative action policies on the grounds of fairness. Meanwhile, by the way, wealthy legacy admissions are completely untouched. And it's not hard to see all this new anti-DEI stuff as another example of backlash. DEI is the new woke. Woke was the new CRT. CRT was the new BLM. BLM was the new politically correct. And PC was the new civil rights activist. And so on, and so on. In the mouths of conservatives, these words are synonyms for black, trans, gay, woman, and all those things become shorthand for bad, unqualified, entitled, lazy, or undeserving. This might sound exaggerated to some people, but we just saw an incredibly obvious example of this when that helicopter crashed into a plane in DC earlier this year.
That a small aircraft collided with a helicopter.
Trying to recover the wreckage from the American Airlines jet and the Army helicopter, both colliding, killing everyone on board the two different aircrafts.
We do not know what led to this crash, but we have some very strong opinions.
Trump immediately blamed DEI in the vaguest terms possible, giving conservatives a long leash to flood social media with their attempts at finding out if anyone involved was indeed DEI. Meaning, not a straight white guy. They assumed, without needing to say it explicitly, that if everyone involved was a straight white guy, then they couldn't possibly be unqualified. As if white men had a monopoly on being qualified, despite the fact that if there's any group whose race and gender has given them a leg up, it's white men. Knowing full well that the odds were high that someone involved wouldn't fit that bill, the conservative project for the week became finding out every single person involved and, based exclusively on their identity, figure out if they really deserved to be there. And for a minute, they were happy, because one of the pilots was a trans woman. Except, no, she wasn't involved. Jo Ellis, the trans woman misidentified by thousands of conservatives online, is alive and well. But in the frenzy to find a scapegoat, her identity became a lightning rod for the anti-trans backlash crowd, another piece of evidence in favor of letting the system continue to pump out white supremacy. But let's refocus. To hear the right talk about wanting to say slurs and moving further right explicitly for that purpose, then slashing anything related to progressive causes, they usually imply that it's because the left went too far. As if anybody actually suffered because they were told saying slurs could be inconsiderate. As though DEI policies ever reversed the racist hiring and firing practices of American businesses or resolved the disparities we have in our society. It doesn't matter. Woke was just too much too fast. That's something we've heard a lot from conservatives, particularly from apolitical comedians. But what I haven't told you yet is that even though I keep using the word backlash, almost every single incident of backlash in American history actually took place before progressives had made material progress. All of this stuff, all this conservative anger and reactionary politics, it's almost never based on any actual loss of privilege from what these losers consider normal people, but almost entirely on the fear of losing those privileges.
I will never support somebody that will put me at a disadvantage because of immutable characteristics. Maybe you do not need that. But I think I should be treated fairly, the same as everybody else is. And if somebody says that I shouldn't be treated fairly and I should be put at a disadvantage, then I'm going to vote against them. And you can say that it's not fair or whatever. Never.
In their minds, equality is a slippery slope that ends with them at the bottom of the hierarchy. Every attempt to redress inequality is therefore reverse racism or giving them a disadvantage, even though it's obviously not. It's a fear that's well documented and completely unfounded. Let me put it clearly. If you are not born as a normal white guy, you will face obstacles that are unique to your group and that normal white guys won't. And the conservative fear that locks those obstacles in place is a direct product of the conservative politics of racial capitalism. That's actually always been the case. Take the Civil Rights Act. Remember how I mentioned that it also experienced backlash? Well, to be more accurate, prior to it being voted in, conservatives were fear-mongering that it would mean favoritism and special privileges for black Americans. The Civil Rights Act. Conservatives lied, and white Americans were worried that integration would mean subjugation, that they'd be forced to sell their houses to black Americans, or that black people would, quote, take over the country. Again, this was during the Jim Crow era, and none of that was ever part of the Civil Rights Act, obviously. But the newspapers were filled with calls that the civil rights movement was going too far, moving too fast, that they were being unreasonable. Politicians were getting letters from white voters saying, quote, wait a minute, we've got rights too, as if white people's rights were ever in question. The right mobilized to pump out a message of fear and reaction that would block the left on their path to material progress towards equality, thwarting the economic equality that was part of the civil rights movement's demands. The same is true today. DEI initiatives haven't meaningfully transformed the distribution of wealth or power in this country. That doesn't mean it's an entirely bad thing, but by and large, it's a weak attempt by corporations to look less evil without needing to do much. Yes, there are a few women and queer and black people in positions of power, but them just being there hasn't dismantled the system of producing inequality that unfairly targets the groups they belong to. Just to remind you, the average black or Latino household is still far below the average white household in terms of wealth, as is the average queer household. Members of all these groups, non-white people, queer people, those with disabilities, are also still experiencing discrimination and harassment at incredibly high rates, on top of higher levels of poverty, homelessness, and unemployment.
You're one black man who went to a good, essentially white high school in the city of New York.
That's
you
correct.
Obviously had had a good education.
That's
a good many of the people who work with you here in SNCC can say the same thing.
And we're saying that...
And you're a black man who came from a New York ghetto.
And we're saying that there's a system that allows for one or two black people to get out. And that's the rationale for keeping other black people down.
And it has nothing to do with the unwillingness or inability of the Negro to help himself and to work hard.
That's the rationale, that the reason why black people aren't this is because they're lazy, unambitious, stupid, have rhythm, and they eat watermelon.
Nothing's changed. The same year this clip of Kwame Ture was filmed, 1966, columnists in major newspapers were still writing that if the Johnson administration, quote, insists upon ignoring and trampling majority rights in efforts to favor minority groups, they may in time provoke a white revolution. When we focus on the language of backlash like this, we can make it seem like the problem is progressives asking for too much, somehow. As if these simple demands for equality, generations old and still unanswered, are forcing conservatives into reaction. And that's just not the case. Backlash doesn't just happen. It's produced, actively, by conservatives. This media ecosystem, the discriminatory laws, the letter-writing campaigns, and the civil society groups that protested against things like the ERA, this required funding, militancy, and effort from conservatives. This cruelty, then, it's not some spur-of-the-moment anti-woke response to arrogant woke-scolding liberals. It's part and parcel of the conservative political project, and it comes straight out of other things like their obsession with borders. See, part of the current obsession with the border is that it's an acceptable way to engage in racial capitalism for conservatives and liberals alike. Capitalism and capitalists have always been able to use race to distinguish people and use their differences to put people into deserving and undeserving boxes. Labels like DEI become shorthand for these boxes in popular culture, while keeping plausible deniability, by the way. In any case, those in the deserving box get well-paid jobs and/or a high social status. Or, at the very least, they can enjoy a safety net of some kind, knowing that, for as bad as things might get for them, they will always be worse for those in the undeserving box. And once you've made a box, what is true for race can be true for differentiating people along any lines, meaning gender, sexuality, ability, whatever you want. Until recently, all of that was fair game in everyday discourse. Plenty of politicians could get away with saying that black people, women, queer people, people with disabilities deserved less. It went without saying. Things are a little better now that that's not so true anymore, except when it is, like with immigrants. While centrist politicians can't attack most of the groups I've just named and get away with it unscathed, groups like immigrants are fair game. The Biden and Obama administrations were rolling out dozens of policies denying asylum seekers, throwing immigrants in Guantanamo Bay, and funneling more and more money to Border Patrol in equal measure to Trump. And they could do it without uproar or fear of being unseated. And just like with other backlash movements, this turn against immigrants happened based on nothing. There is no such thing as a migration crisis. Since the 1800s, immigrants have been a roughly steady 15% of the US population. And by all available metrics, immigrants are no better or worse than the average American. Because of course they aren't. They have only positive impacts on things like Social Security, and no negative impacts on things like native-born wages and employment. Not that thinking along these lines is even right, because just because you're born here doesn't mean you deserve more than another human being. Anyway, racial capitalism. All of these politicians are neoliberals. They are comfortable with the fact that the state has changed its job. It's given up on welfare and the idea that life should improve for everyone across the board, and instead doubled down on policing and categorizing people. Something that they can do easily at the border, and that they can easily transfer to applying within the rest of the US, like we're seeing today with ICE. Like with the rest of the backlash politics, the intensification of border policing comes from a baseless fear of being replaced, and the assumption that that would mean an inversion of the hierarchy. Again, nothing like that has or will happen. But because other forms of discrimination have become socially less acceptable, differentiating the deserving from the undeserving in a socially acceptable way still needs to exist. Hence, the all-out war on immigrants. And slowly but surely, the pool starts to get bigger again. First saying Mexicans are rapists goes down relatively smoothly for about half the country. Then all of a sudden, the question becomes, well, why shouldn't I be able to use the F slur? I don't really mean it, until I do. This approach sucks, and it protects the wealthy from scrutiny. By beating up on immigrants and then everyone else, conservatives can give their base the impression that they're getting things done without actually helping them. Beating up immigrants doesn't help you. Discriminating against queer and disabled people doesn't help you. Meanwhile, the tariffs make everything more expensive, and SpaceX gets another round of government contracts. The gap between the deserving and undeserving has gotten wider, but everyone moved down except the very richest people on Earth. If women, black people, queer people, people with disabilities, and immigrants can be paid less, denied benefits and healthcare, and locked into gig work, if their homelessness can be swept under the rug, and this is all tolerable because they're undeserving, then as long as those in the in-group aren't pushed down to that same level, the wealthy can slowly lower the acceptable status for everyone. This is where backlash comes in. DEI initiatives signal to the in-group that their status being on the inside is no longer a safety net from the collective freefall we're all trapped in. These initiatives give conservatives the idea that status is now distributed differently. Even though it's not actively making life better for the majority of working-class people, regardless of their race, gender, or ability, it doesn't matter. The fear of becoming indistinguishable from the racially subordinated, and of living lives of no more security or privilege than them, resurrects the most extreme forms of racial protectionism. Here's the truth. We are all living in a world where the New Deal was destroyed by liberals and conservatives both. Gig work is everywhere. Our healthcare sucks. Higher ed is a debt nightmare. But not everybody experiences it to exactly the same degree or in the same specific ways. The legacies of privilege are still with us and can still give some people a leg up. But DEI discourse gives conservatives the idea that this is slipping away. And instead of fighting for everyone's liberation from this death spiral, the lack of guarantees for those who used to benefit from the top dog status is sparking a new anger. Not at the wealthy, who get to stand behind the president and who actively make your life worse, dear conservative viewer, but at those who have been racialized, those who the border has separated out, those who are too cozy with the undeserving, those who can be cast aside, all the people you share far more in common with than you do any billionaire. So what good are the slurs, then? This is how we started the video, after all. On some level, it's probably not very deep. Conservatives are feeling emboldened by an administration that's egging that stuff on. They're having fun saying a bad word even though they're not supposed to. And all these conservative pundits are there to wink at them and tell them it's okay. It is painfully lame for the rest of us, but whatever. Within the context of conservative politics, though, these slurs, they're also something else. They're a clear attempt by conservatives to define themselves as part of the in-group by clearly stating who's out, by associating the undeserving or lame or stupid label with someone who is other, someone who doesn't conform, someone who they can signal that they are different and better than. They're advertising to each other that they shouldn't be kicked out. They know that the borders between who's in and who's out are blurry, so they're making sure that everyone knows that they aren't DEI or whatever. The conservative movement isn't exclusively white men, but it is exclusively people who all agree that they're part of the good ones, and that as proud members of the good ones, they will fight to keep the bad guys down, proving it to each other by being as mean and cruel and careless to those they desperately don't want to be associated with. But just know that neoliberalism isn't sparing anyone, conservatives included. The party's over for all of us. And sadly, for a lot of people, just believing in the fantasy that you can be spared because you're the right kind of person can sometimes be enough. So if you're not ready to fight for equality, if you're too stupid or arrogant to see that you're next on the chopping block, why not be cruel if it'll make you feel safe and powerful in the meantime?